Hello, and welcome to the Empowerography Podcast. This is a platform created for women's voices to be heard and a place to share their stories, journeys, and successes with the world for the purpose of helping other women who might be on similar journeys. We are empowering women one episode at a time. I'm your host, Brad Walsh, so kick back, grab one of your favorite beverages, and enjoy the stories. Hello there, Brad Walsh here, your host of the Empowerography Podcast. Today, my guest is Anaya Sophia. She is a mystic author slash storyteller based in France. How are you doing today, Anaya?
Yeah, really good. Thanks, Brad. Really good to be here.
Thank you so much for agreeing to be part of this community I'm creating. And we finally have got around to doing our interview. I know we've been trying for quite some time now. So it's great to finally actually have you here and be able to have this conversation with you and hear your story and your journey. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Likewise. I'm glad we persevered. And I think this is a quality that this time is bringing out in us.
Yeah,
you know, perseverance, fortitude.
I think it's necessary, especially in a time like this, what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
So let's jump in. Anaya, you are a mystic, an author. You're also a clothing designer, and you've even created your own line of anointing oils called Sophia Temple Oils. You run a B&B in southern France. That's quite the resume. You have a full plate there. Where do you find time for all of this stuff?
Well, I am a classical Capricorn. So I'm kind of driven, and I have quite a large capacity to juggle many, many plates, and I don't have children. So I think, you know,
there you go.
There's a big gap there, which enables me to do what I do, I guess.
Well, that frees a lot of your time for sure.
Yeah.
So your bio says you're a mystic. Can you explain what that means? What a mystic is, what a mystic does?
I would say a mystic is a person who relies upon, depends upon, and utterly does not doubt their own intrinsic connection. So they do not seek out that third party anymore. They recognize that something very alive and truthful and divine and clear and comforting and graceful is communicating with them, through them, and that is their path, that is their teacher, and that is their source of all answers. And so the mind becomes very, very clear. There is no doubt. There is no disbelief. Just a fully illumined mind. This is happening, and I am faithful.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's quite the description.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time. You know, it's not as if this happened last week.
Right.
This has been a slow burn, you know?
Yeah.
At least. No, not even a decade. Way more. 25 years.
Wow. When did you first step into this? Like, how did this all come about?
Well, I definitely had an experience when I was about 12, coming down the steps of the Sacré-Cœur in Paris and seeing what I thought was a beggar or a homeless person. Interacting with that young man and having a full moment as our eyes met. And something happened in that gaze. My heart was definitely touched and opened and widened. And I never really sort of went back to who I was before that.
Wow.
You know, I just continued wanting more of that level of engagement.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And so that's how my path began.
That's quite the incredible connection.
Just literally a glance between a young girl and a beggar.
Wow.
That's very romantic, isn't it? That's very roomy. But it's true. It's true.
Now, were you living in France at the time, or was this before you moved to France?
Yeah, this is way before. I was in England at that point.
Okay.
Yeah, just having a little vacation with my parents.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you're a 10-time author with your latest book called Fierce Feminine Rising, Heal from Predatory Relationships and Recenter, which came out this year. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, January this year.
Okay. Can you tell us a bit about this book and what it's all about? And
well, yeah, this book was written 2 years ago.
Okay.
So the publisher, Inner Traditions, was waiting for the right moment. And when they said January 2020, I was like, oh, God, it needs to come out way before then. So I was a little bit, not sure about the date. But of course, now I can see, oh, my God, this was the most perfect time because we did not know what was coming.
Right.
Although the book is hinting at it on every single page.
Really?
Oh, God, absolutely. This is exactly the main thrust of the book.
Isn't
but
it...
it's looking at the situation out there and looking at exactly the same situation in here. And so it really is a map for transversing and navigating this tumultuous time, but not just, you know, the political, the environmental, not just those things happening out there, but to, you know, eavesdrop in on our own dialogue.
Yeah.
And realize, hang on a minute, I'm having the same kind of conversation with myself. You know, that same level of arrogance or ignorance or blame, attack, shaming.
Yeah.
So,
isn't it funny the way things work, eh?
Yep.
So
yep,
funny.
Yep, yep.
The time, it's just so strange the way things work sometimes.
Yes. Yes.
Now, in your books, you have a theme of femininity and feminine principle. Why do you choose to write specifically centered around this theme?
Because of that man I saw when I was 12 years old.
Okay. Wow, that spawned it all.
Totally, totally. This was the look of love.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say love, I mean the all, the absolute, the only. This was a biggie. This wasn't like a young girl's infatuation.
Right.
This was like looking at an angel or God or Jesus. It was at that level. And that became the only interest for me after that moment.
Really?
And so everything is in service of that glance, to be absolutely honest.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I often wonder, does that guy realize what he set in motion?
He's just altered the course of your life, like in so many ways.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Through just a glance.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible? When you sit down and think about that,
yeah,
doesn't that just blow your mind?
Yeah. I remember reading up about Rumi and Shams, and they met in exactly the same way. And they call it the Nashkar. That's the glance.
Okay.
So, you know, when Shams kind of like ran into Rumi, and ran in is really the right terminology. He just literally entered Rumi's world in every possible way and turned it upside down. But in that chaos came, you know, the Rumi that we know and love today. And it all began with a look.
Wow.
And in that look, Rumi knew, I can trust this one. This is the one.
Yeah.
This is the one who has been sent to me. He is going to fully awaken awaken me.
Everything, yeah.
Yeah. And he literally dropped. He dropped his papers. He was reciting poetry at the time.
Mm.
He just dropped his papers in the fountain. And all the ink began to come off the papyrus. And he's losing his poetry.
Yeah.
But he doesn't care. He's just like walking towards Shams, as if to say, okay, where are we going?
Yeah, we're here.
And that's a true story.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And that's what it was like for you.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah. I would have gone off with that guy. For sure. Because, you know, love was there. And so was this immense trust.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
Where do you pull your inspiration from when you are writing your books? I mean, I know that this glance was the catalyst for it all, but when you sit down to write, where do you pull your inspiration from?
I often return to exactly that place because okay. It leads to somewhere. It's like a little doorway.
Yeah.
It's a tiny doorway that leads to a wide, massive, seemingly parallel universe of so much inspiration. It's like a library. It's like the Library of Alexandria. There's this, you know, in my imagination, there's this close parallel possibility that's so close. It's almost on every single breath. Mm-hmm. And it wants to come through us. It wants to sort of seep and permeate through us to be lived, to for us humans to realize it is so possible to live like this, to live this way. And so music is another big one for me. Mm-hmm. That often flies that little gateway open. Poetry, movies, you know, anything that's in the body, dance, performance, art. Because yeah. I think we're all getting it from the same place.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. For me, music is an incredible vehicle. It's an incredible thing. You can hear a song and it takes you back to an exact moment in your life. I can't think of many other things that can accomplish that. I mean, art, yes, we all love art. Well, I shouldn't say we all, but I'm an art lover, and a book can take you back to a time. But there's just something about music. It's a whole other level, and nothing else is like it. Nothing.
Absolutely. Totally agree with you there, Brad.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
So I know each author has their own creative process when they sit down to write. Can you walk us through your process a little bit?
Yes, absolutely. And it's very particular.
Okay.
I can remember a world before social media and gadgets and screens and keyboards. And I cannot and would not and will always refuse to begin to write a book with a machine.
Really?
It must be handwritten.
Okay.
It must, that those early stages must be me scribbling in some kind of journal. You know, and if you look back at my writing, the spelling is dreadful. The sentences are obscure and often loads of bits missed out. But I understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And it must begin there. And it must begin in what I call my favorite chair.
Okay.
Which is an outdoor chair that's totally in line with the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say my most creative hours are the first 2 hours as the sun's coming up.
Okay.
And if I can catch that moment, then I will be with the storyline all day long, you know, threading in and out. You know, one minute I'm here in the kitchen washing up, the next minute I'm back there again. So it's essential to begin that day, you know, with a pen.
In that
in
chair.
Journal. In the, yeah.
I love it. I love it. Well, it's good to have structure. I mean, if that's how and where you produce your best work, then there you go.
Yes, yes, yes.
So you have your own clothing line, as I mentioned above. What inspired you to create your own clothing line? How did that all come about?
Well, that was my first work, I guess. Okay. When I was in my 20s, I was a fashion designer in London, and I was dressing people like Bjork and Madonna and
really?
Prodigy. Yeah.
What?
I loved it.
Wow.
But I can see now, you know, even that was serving the glance, because the most exciting part of being a fashion designer was the creating the catwalk show, creating the performance. And even back in those days, it was never about showing, you know, good tailoring or good design skills. It was about creating an atmosphere. I wanted the people in the chairs to sit up and take notice, because something very, very alive is in the room. And the models, and again, the music and the imagery, it's all to bring something to the people, you know, the witness, the audience.
It
It's
all
like
comes to a
even
head.
totally, I can see, you know, even in those, you know, kind of drunken, heady days, I was still serving that moment, because it was always about love. It was always about opening. It was always about uplifting and inspiring and courage and bravery, always. And so, you know, what I do now with the pen, is the same thing. And
Do you
there is
miss
always a
that world at all, though?
no,
No, not
because
one bit.
no, because it lives on inside of me. You know, I still have an edge. I'm not a perfect, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not a polished, marketable author. I have an edge. I'm a little bit
That's good to
unpredictable.
have an edge, though,
That
I
is
think.
very, very good. So, you know, that which I was playing with in my 20s is still with me. I'm harmless, but I'm just not the branded one, if you know what I mean. Yeah.
Amazing. I love that. How long were you design? How long were you a fashion designer in London?
Well, to be honest, it was only 5 years, because that is a usual time period. It's like being a musician. You're hot for a certain amount of time, and then you are so not anymore because someone else has come along with a new concept. So, you know, we really had our heyday in the 90s. We won awards and everything. But
Amazing.
it's good to know, it's good to keep an eye on the horizon to see when you're starting to go from hot to warm. And if you can get out whilst you're still warm,
Then it's a good thing.
it's a very good thing. And
I mean,
you hurry.
there are those anomalies that surpass that shelf date, we'll call it, and stay the distance,
Yeah, that's
but
right.
it's rare. Those musicians, speaking about music, those musicians are far and few between.
And I think it's almost artistic to know when to opt out, because
That's
that's
right.
part of it. It's the beauty of knowing you are creating a new look or a new sound or a new movement. And you know, you've served that desire, that trend, that path. And then, as gorgeous as it is, as you know, being number one and being on the tip of everyone's tongue, there's also a beauty in the agonizing death of stepping out.
For
You
sure.
know, that's rock and roll.
That's
It
right.
can't be good, 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 good.
Well, there's a
Yeah.
lot of people that just don't know when to hang it up either, right? They
Of course not.
keep pushing and keep it, and
Yeah.
really, you're not doing yourself any favors. There's a
No.
lot of artists that I think should have hung it up a while ago, but
Yeah.
keep going. And I mean, to each their own. But you'd rather, I would think you'd rather go out on a high.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh well, that's okay. It is what
Yeah.
it
Yeah.
is. So you also created your own line of anointing oils. Why did you decide to do that? What was the inspiration for that?
Oh gosh, that is to help. It happened to me first. So when I was on a little bit of a downward spiral, you know, I can go up and I can go down like
Well, we
all of
all
us.
can.
Totally. But I noticed that if I reached a certain depth, It was very difficult to get out of that looping line, storyline of thoughts and feelings and, you know, just the swirling downward spiral. And praying wasn't working, yoga wasn't working, dearest friends coming round for a chit-chat wasn't working. But what was working each and every time and rapidly was to smell really ancient oils like frankincense, myrrh, spikenard, rose. It was as if, you know, the aroma is so strong, so palpable, that it lifts you immediately out of that downward spiral and back into, you know, a part of yourself that's more recognizable and more easier to hang out in. So that just got me thinking, and I started researching, and I obviously went back to ancient Egypt and Sumeria and, you know, the Holy Land, and realizing, huh, yes, this was what they were used for. It's not to, you know, dab at the back of your ear so that you smell good.
There's a bigger purpose.
It's to transform your state there, and especially with a really clear oil. You can even do more than transform your state. You can go into an initiatory phase. You can, you know, go to that creative place. These ancient medicines are quite something.
Amazing. So how long ago did you create your first line of anointing oils?
That would have been about probably the same time I moved here, 2013, 2012 maybe.
Yeah. Are you still doing that?
Yes. Yes, yes.
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. Now, you also run a B&B. How long have you been doing that? And I mean, you must meet some very interesting, intriguing people from all over the world that come to your B&B. What's that experience like for you?
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. So yeah, I've been running this B&B since 2013. Every single guest brings something to the table. Because there's so much history here, you like the Knights Templar, like the Cathars, the Crusades that's been here, Mary Magdalene. There's even a great big mountain here, which is like Mount Shasta. So it has all your extraterrestrial activity that goes with it. So most guests are here to search for this and seek it out. So everyone who comes is a character. They're on a path. They always bring insights, revelation, and healing. So it really is, it's like a little kaleidoscope. People come, people go. We meet them, they meet us, and things always happen.
I love it. That's awesome. Yeah. It sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's a fabulous way, actually, of, you know, earning a living, you know, making your crust. I love this lifestyle. I certainly wouldn't want to be, you know, gunning for the big bucks.
Yeah.
I like how things are. Things tick by. I've got plenty of time for creativity.
And that's what's important.
Yeah. And I'm meeting the people.
Exactly.
And we're having big conversations, and you know, we might sleep the night in a cave, or we might walk for 5 hours.
Wow. You know, I'm sure that also feeds into your storytelling too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, all the characters come to the house.
Yeah.
I don't have to think about anything.
That's right. They come right to your door.
Yes.
The inspiration comes to you.
Totally.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. Which authors do you admire or are you inspired by?
I love Neil Gaiman. He's a UK author. I love the fact that he can really touch in on the light side of life. And he's a lovely person with a beautiful heart. But he's also extremely good at touching in on the darker aspects as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really appeals to me that, you know, he can bring both through in one novel. And, you know, when you see him, when you meet him, when you read about him,
uh-huh.
he's a very, he's a loving, honest, transparent, humble human being that's just revealing just how easy it is to wrap words around these two, you know, forces and experiences. Yeah, that really appeals to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
What excites you most about being an author?
The fact that I have permission to go into my imagination as often as possible and really get behind what I see, what I hear, what I feel. Yeah. I don't have to minimize it. I don't have to say things like, oh, that's just my imagination.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. What freedom.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to just like go in and completely believe and then write it all down.
Yeah. You know, it's funny as when we're kids, when we're children, we rely so heavily on our imagination and we use our imagination. And as we grow older, that seems to fall, that skill or that whatever you want to call it falls by the wayside as we get older. And it's looked upon as, that's just your imagination. No, or it gets completely forgotten. And you don't ever revisit using that. It's funny how that works, how things change as we grow older. And the innocence of being a child and the imagination gets left behind. I mean, obviously not all people do that because authors use it, artists use it. But I mean, in general, I think it's just sad that the imagination gets left behind and it's looked at as child's play.
Yeah. I remember someone said to me, you know, if you take the word imagination, it's image generation, the ability to generate an image. And of course, you know, you can always ask a deeper question. Well, who exactly is doing that?
Yeah.
Wow. That's exciting. I love questions like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Are there any specific tools or books that have really helped you on your journey?
Nothing particular springs to mind. I love illustrative books.
Mm-hmm.
I love children's fairy tales and children's stories because there's such, there's hardly any language. It's really concise and short and simple. And yet those really simple words are the ones that open up that imagination again.
Yeah.
I love old-fashioned books. Oh, okay. My God, I am such a bookie. You can imagine, you know, the most favoritist bookstore would be an old Victorian bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
With tiny little pane glass windows. No electric light, just candles.
Mm-hmm.
A door that has a little bell and creaks as you open it.
Yeah.
And there's just books everywhere on the floor, on the table, just books.
I can picture it. And the floor creaks when you walk across it, the wooden floor, the planks, the boards creak when you walk.
Yeah.
And I can just see it in my mind's eye right now.
There's leather books, there's scrolls, there's papyrus. Ah, yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. That's another little fantasy I have, you know, when I'm a much older woman, to have that kind of quirky little bookstore.
Yeah.
And I sort of come out from behind the cupboard with a knowing look in my eye. Hey, I think this one's for you.
Yeah. This one's got your name on it.
Yes.
What do you think your unique skill set or superpower is that has helped you become successful?
A lot of people say I have strangely managed to retain my innocence. And I can agree with that because, yep, I feel it. It is still there.
Mm-hmm.
So I can get, you know, battered and buffed and knocked and fall over.
Right.
Scuff my knees up, But I always sort of stand up again because of this innocence. This innocence cannot get touched or tainted or scarred, but by golly, many have given a good go. But it's there. What can I say? It's there. And that is the superpower.
Mm.
You know, the vulnerability, the trans, people say I'm very transparent. Mm. I kind of feel I am, you know, I am an open book.
Yeah.
And that is my superpower. And yet people say that's the stuff you shouldn't be sharing. And I'm like, huh, that's interesting, because that is actually what gives me the strength and the edge to continue on.
It's who you are. It's part of your DNA. It's ingrained in you.
Yes. Yes.
What makes you feel inspired or like your best self?
This is a strange one. I really like exercising. Okay. I like physically challenging myself.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the mountains, that would be a jolly good uphill walk that makes me, you know, that I reach that summit. And, you know, I see the whole thing as like a training exercise. and that, yeah, there's something, I think probably because I'm so much in my imagination and, you know, wordy and writing down words, and I need to balance that with really robust physical activity. And when I realize I have done that, it just makes me feel very complete and very sense of like being satiated. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good.
That fixed me up.
Yeah, I do like sending a lot of energy through the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of come away from your physical exercise feeling extremely peaceful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That wasn't really very inspiring, was it?
No, it is. I mean, if that's what lights you up and makes you feel good and makes you feel inspired, then yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It is 100%.
Yeah.
Who would you say are three people in your life that have been the most influential?
Well, for one, that guy.
We know that. Yes, we know that's the first one, 100%, without a doubt.
Marilyn Monroe is another big one for me.
Okay.
I am absolutely enchanted by her beauty and, again, her innocence. She had that innocence as well. She was an absolute sex siren and worked it beautifully.
Yes.
And yet, in the other hand, she had this exquisite innocence and vulnerability and fragility. And yet, she was quite possibly the most sexual woman to date. In that way, you know, it's changed. It's changed in these last generations, what we consider sexy and sexual.
Very true. Well, we can leave it at two if you like.
Yes, yes, okay. Let's leave it at two.
All right.
Yeah.
Those are two pretty good ones, I would say.
Well, yeah, male and female, masculine and feminine.
There you go.
Yeah.
How would you like to be remembered?
Well, as I said at the beginning of our conversation, I don't have children.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very important for me to leave something behind. I need to leave something behind. I want to leave like a little legacy, as something that someone or many can pick up on and run with.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I have cooking around inside of me is this thing that I'm calling the School of Love.
Okay.
And in India and countries like that, this is a very normal thing to have in the community. Over where we come from, it might sound a little bit odd at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally a school where you would teach sort of prepubescent teens, girls and boys, how to drop into their body.
Mm-hmm.
How to realize their beauty and their prowess and their enchantment and their seduction. How to interact with one another naturally, easily, beautifully, excitingly. And what this attraction for one another can actually lead to way beyond what we've been taught.
Yeah.
You know, this idea of get married, have children, get a job, you know, do your career. There is so much more in the capacity of attraction, desire, sexuality, union, love, so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And I just would love to make that really mainstream so that every young kid, you know, feels comfortable in their body, has been taught by another human being
yeah.
what sexuality is, rather than pixelated screen.
Yeah.
You know, pornography, which is
yeah.
which is the teacher these days.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And then, you know, the capacity and the scope of what is possible in these deeper relationships, and how we can heal, inspire, comfort, bless, open, activate, restore, recapitulate one another.
Sounds amazing.
Mm.
Amazing, because I mean, let's be honest, all the issues with body image and body positivity and self-confidence and self-love, that all starts from a very young age. And it's horrible that kids have to go through all that and carry that shit with them into their adult years and affect their relationships, affect how they view themselves. And it's a horrible, horrible thing. It's very sad.
Absolutely. I saw The Social Dilemma on Netflix.
Yes, I watched that a couple of weeks ago.
So, and those girls, you know, wanting to look the way they do when they've applied the filter on their images.
Yeah, it's sad. God. It's very sad.
Yeah.
That documentary is quite scary, actually, when you think about it.
I nearly booted my screen in after watching it. I nearly launched the computer. But I thought, no, wait a second, I need it for writing.
Yes, that's right.
But it does, it gives you that knee-jerk response.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, that's a must-watch for everybody.
For sure, I believe so too. Mm. What makes you smile?
Well, I'm smiling right now, actually. So what is that? I guess it's connection, Brad. Yeah. You know, this is nice. We're having a good rapport.
Yes.
And I'm smiling from ear to ear as I look out the window.
That's awesome. That's great. Well, I'm glad to hear that we can elicit that type of emotion just through conversation. It's a beautiful thing when you can do that, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you were guaranteed the correct answer to one question in life, what would you ask?
Why did we come here? But that's a bit silly, because I think I sense the answer. Maybe more like, where are we going? Yeah. And particularly now.
Yeah.
Where are we going?
Yeah. Where do we go from here?
Yes. Yes.
What does the word empowerment mean to you?
To me, it means that you fill with the intention and desire and energy to represent more than just you.
Hmm.
Because I see people use that word a lot.
Yes.
And it's often about empowering themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel that word fits more comfortably in my heart. To become empowered is to kind of like stretch out so that you can represent those who clearly are not yet, like the animals, like the innocent, like mm-hmm. the undefended, like the land, like the climate.
Yeah.
That is what empowerment is about. I don't feel, in all truthfulness, it's about empowering the one.
Right.
It's about empowering the many. I'm sure of that.
I love that. How would you describe yourself in one word?
Joyful.
Nah. To what extent do you think we shape our own destiny, and how much of that is up to fate, do you think?
I was just out before speaking to you on a dog walk.
Mm-hmm.
Although I call them God walks. You know, dog,
dog backwards.
God.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm on my God walk, and because of what I was contemplating, I would say that is how it used to be mm-hmm. for us humans. You know, the secret manifestation, our thoughts, feelings, memories, beliefs is shaping everything, shaping everything. I really believe that is the world that is dying.
Yeah.
It's going down the drain with all of the patriarchal, corrupt structures. And I'm not even sure I like saying patriarchal anymore. Mm-hmm. Just the corruption, the
yeah.
crap is going down the drain. And that limited way of understanding things, you know, duality, manifestation, that's also quite cheap. And that's going down the drain too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe a whole new operating system is already in the process of being installed in us.
Mm-hmm.
And this desire to manifest and create and intend and, you know, draw towards oneself and magnetize into being, I don't think that's going to float our boat anymore.
Hmm.
I just don't think it's going to be there.
Yeah.
Because maybe it will just be a simultaneous thing that happens with no thought, desire, or feeling. You know, this like, oh, I need to manifest this into being. I don't think that's walking with us through the eye of the needle.
No.
Because I think that's what we are doing. We're going through an eye of a needle, and it's very bloody thin.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't take much luggage or baggage with you. You got to go through pretty damn naked.
Yeah.
And, you know, that manifesting thing is going to go, I feel. Something more graceful will replace it.
Hmm. Interesting food for thought.
Yeah.
What would you say is one of the most important things you've learned in your life? And what was your life like before learning it? And what was your life like after learning it?
I'd say discernment is a very big, important lesson that was gifted by being naive. Yeah. And it's been a few years now since mm-hmm. I've learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of integrated quite nicely as pure knowing and intuition. And I trust my pure knowing and intuition. And I don't need to double check it and, you know, interact with circumstances or people where my little red flags are going off. I notice them immediately.
Right.
And refuse to enter the dance. So before all of that, yes, naive, wishful thinking, fantasy, always seeing the good in people, and mm-hmm. I still do,
mm-hmm.
but I also know, by golly, we've got the choice
yeah.
and the ability and means of doing the complete opposite.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I like yeah. it.
Yes.
Do you have any big projects that you're currently working on coming down yes. the pike that you'd like to share?
Oh, gosh, I'm in this biggie at the moment. This one is testing me on every single level. We've spotted a new property in this region, which is a real leap. It's a real reach.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with a chapel. It comes with a spring. And it's the perfect place for, as I mentioned, this school of love.
Yeah.
And we have until the 22nd of this month to come up with the funds to
oh,
do this.
My.
This is what, 10 days away?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's whispers, there's movement in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, like this, this manifestation thing, I am choosing not to do this. I'm going to manifest. No, no, no. It has to be more gracious. I have to just be with this tumultuous time.
Yeah.
I have to be with let it go. It's not for us.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be with courage and fortitude. I do want to be here mm-hmm. and bring these projects to this place. So it's kind of like this new ground. And trust me, it's a moment by moment, constant whirring whirlwind that I'm in. And also there's, you know, there's another part that says, how can you be wishing for this at this time?
Right.
You're lucky you've even got a roof over your head.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everything is coming in and speaking up in this process.
You got to sift through the voices and figure it out.
Totally, totally, totally. But I'm just really glad that the 22nd is coming up because I don't know how much longer I can sit with this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you got, what's today, the 7th? You got 15 days.
Yeah.
Just over 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just for myself. You know, it's all my parents. My parents mm-hmm. are going to live there.
Right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
One of those great big boats. And there's always like some sort of maiden at the front
yes.
of the helm. I feel like yep. that. I feel like I'm looking out to sea, you know,
yeah.
trying to navigate by the stars. It's yeah. over here. Land is over here.
I see it.
I'm getting bashed by the storm.
The answer will come to you.
Yes.
Trust in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lastly, if you could go back and give your younger self one piece of advice, what would that piece of advice be?
That's lovely. It would be a message of, I am here with you now. I am here with you always. And I am here with you till the very end and beyond. So it's not necessarily a message. It's more of a transmission
mm-hmm.
that my older self is with my younger self.
Mm-hmm.
And my younger self is with my older self. And that we will be one again
yeah.
at the very end.
That's beautiful. I love it.
Mm.
Thank you so much, Anaya, for taking the time to share your insights and your wisdom and a bit of your journey. This has been one hell of an interesting conversation. It's amazing, really. I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and a lot of great topics and just inspirational. I've really enjoyed this chat and I appreciate you being here and agreeing to be part of the community that I'm creating here with the podcast. And I'm very appreciative for you.
Well, thank you so much, Brad. I just wish I could have asked all the same questions back at you. That would have made it more complete.
Well, we could set up another conversation where you and I can just chat. We can do that, yeah. No problem.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thanks, Anaya. I hope you have an amazing rest of the day or evening, sorry. And we'll talk soon.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast. If you haven't yet, please be sure to subscribe, rate, review, and share with all your friends. You can find me at viseuphoria.ca and follow me on Instagram at Empowerography Podcast and on Facebook at Empowerography. Please join me next time for another inspirational story from yet another amazing woman.